Determining the value of your art, creating attention. Hi, I'm Matej, and this is Surviving Art. Art is emotional, and as such, its value is determined absolutely subjectively. The big question, though, is how? Because even though ambivalent, subjectivity can still give us a lot of various starting points to calculate value from. It's all about perceived value, though, not that the actual value of materials in a work or the hours spent aren't important, but the tag word for this topic is perceived. Because let's face it, unless your art is made out of pure gold, the materials should matter less than the story that's behind it. How people recognize a good story, true value is indeed almost only a story, in objects, that is, and experiences, well, it differs from people to people. That's why it's subjective. But usually we can find basic guidelines that can help us define this perception. The main idea behind this exercise is to find what is most important for each person that we are trying to understand. What are their needs? What do they wish for? Do these wishes and needs have a certain urgency? Do they provide pain or discomfort for them? And can our art elevate or even completely fix their issues? Even though art is seen as the complete opposite of utilitarian, especially if we look at contemporary art, it could not be further from the truth. If nothing else, the baseline of what art can do is to catch attention, to intrigue and incite curiosity about itself and those that experience it. But while this base function isn't exactly of value, more a prerequisite for anything of value to be present in art, we still need to address it, as going past such an important issue in our artworks makes all further work pretty much useless. Art has to be interesting. It can be either avant-garde or challenging, but at the same time, it can also be personal and quaint. There is no standard that defines what interesting is, except that whatever it is we are creating should stand out in the context of everything around it. An apple on the ground of an orchid is about as interesting as a grain of sand on a beach. It's pretty boring, but the very same apple placed in a vineyard will catch people's attention because they ordinarily just wouldn't have expected it to be there. The same goes for art. Anything we should do, we should aim to be exceptional compared to the environment it resides in. But this doesn't really mean that we need to run naked in the streets while reciting the Yellowist Manifesto, because there are much more subtle ways to stand out. And truly great art is always made in a subtle but disruptive way. Think about all the one-hit wonders in the music industry. They might have been successful with one song, but after the initial boom, they slowly fade into the background. The problem is that they have been trying to impress and communicate to the kind of people that need constant novelty and excitement to give them their attention. And because they focused on people that needed cheap frills, they themselves became one in the end. Only those that build their novelty and intrigue with a long timeline in mind and cultivate the attention of the people as a friend or acquaintance, not as a passing circus or magician, are able to find true success with their creative business. Because while a magician may be able to entice and amuse us for a few hours, after we've seen the show, there's really no point in going back for another time. We've seen all of her tricks, laughed at all of her jokes, and it just wouldn't have the same novel effect on us as it did the first time. But comparing it to our favorite book that we have reread 1,000 times, or our favorite TV show that we know by heart and still binge watch from time to time, these objects and experiences never seem to really get dull. Quite the opposite, really. They get better and better over time. And that's where true art really happens. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Surviving Art.